Happy Mother's Day. I always love every year when we do Mother's Day to see this video from the youth. I swear, if without mothers, I think many of them are dead by now. So thank you, moms, for always cooking for your kids. Because if it's just the dads, I have no idea what's going to happen. But happy Mother's Day. Towards the at the end of the sermon, we'll also have another presentation from the children from Promised Land. And we'll also go from there. But you know, it's been amazing last few days of doing these very things that showcase love. You know, again, just praying for the college graduates. It changes my life, just about who you are and how God has used you, and my understanding of love has been shaped and molded by how you love others. Even moms, Mother's Day, again, the ways in which you sacrificially just give up so much for your children. Not just for your children, but many times I see you even give up your own self for other kids, other children, and you become kind of like a surrogate mother to them. And there are some of us who figuratively have become mother figures to us. You know, we are hurting. We are struggling in life, and you, God, just brings you into our lives, and you give us hugs. You sit down and listen to us. You may not be our biological moms, but you are truly a mom at heart. And even yesterday, again, at the wedding, to see love just come into focus with the couple, with Ashley and James. Many of you know who they are and just the way they live. I love James because he may not be the kind of person that will have a calendar and make sure that he does everything, you know, to the order. But you can call him up if you're in trouble anytime. You can call him up and say, James, I need you. And he'll be like, I'm there. I'm there for you. You know, to even hear the story yesterday of Ashley when she was young, how she just had a heart for homeless people. And she would actually collect, coupons for smoothies, for free smoothies and cupcakes or something like that. Because she would use those coupons and buy a drink and a cupcake or something and just meet with someone who, for many of us, we consider them outcasts, outsiders. And she would always make time for them, to talk with them, to pray for them, to listen to them. That's love. And again, for Mother's Day, there's so many things about Mother's Day that is synonymous to this event. But again, we know that one of it is love. So my question for us this morning is, how do we define love? What shapes the way in which we understand love? Jesus has a lot to say about love. He loves to talk about love. And in our text this morning, and as we're going through this sermon series called You Are, he specifically talks about love in the context of discipleship. So this morning's message is entitled, You Are My Disciples. And this message is not just for the moms this morning. This message is truly for all of us this morning as we engage every day to grow more and more in love. That to understand love in the context of discipleship, to understand love in the context of us being disciples of Christ is key in terms of how we are going to point a world that is broken to Jesus. So this morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 13. Verses 31 to 35. So let me just read it for you. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The interesting thing about this text, this passage, if you look quickly at John chapter 13, you will notice that this new commandment that Jesus gives to his disciples is towards the end of his life. It's towards the end of his ministry. It's not like this was the beginning of his ministry where Jesus sets up his journey and says, "Hey, let me tell you what a new commandment is." In fact, this passage is towards the end of his ministry, and it's right after what? It's right after Judas betrays him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I find out that someone is going to betray me and that in a few moments his betrayal is going to lead to my death, again, I don't know about you, I would definitely feel uncomfortable. I would definitely be angry. I would definitely start thinking of ways in which to make sure this person is not going to betray me so I won't get killed, right? I think many of us would think that way. So it's amazing that Jesus' conversation with his disciples comes right after Jesus tells them who was going to betray him. That Jesus knew at that very moment who was going to put him to death. And how powerful it is to know that Jesus' response to that is he talks about love. And he calls it a commandment that is new. Now that to me is very interesting. Why is this a new commandment? I mean, he says, love one another. Church, this is not a new commandment. Even during the first century, people knew how to love one another. So to me, it was kind of weird. It's kind of strange, like, okay, this person who's about to leave is going to betray me. I want to give you guys a new commandment. I mean, I can see the disciples like, ooh, new one, something we've never heard before, right? A new commandment, love one another. Love what? Oh, come on, Jesus, we know how to do that. We know how to love one another. I mean, you've shown us how to love one another. We know how to take care of each other. If someone has a need, we would provide for them. I mean, even the Romans knew how to love one another. The Greeks knew how to love one another. We all know how to love one another. Why is this new, Jesus? Why would you say this is a new commandment? Here's where I think the reason why this commandment is new. It's not that Jesus is saying love one another in terms of that is like a new concept that has never been heard before. I think what Jesus is introducing here that is new is the mission of this love. It's not, again, it's not the thought that, okay, just love each other. What he's saying is, what is the mission that will drive you to love one another? And the mission is this, in verse 35, so that all people will know that you are my disciples. So that people will know that you are my disciples. So church, if Jesus is calling us now, love one another, the reason why that is new is because he's saying, love so that all will know that you are my disciples. How do we love one another? I know for me, there are times I love someone because of selfishness, right? If I love you in a certain way, I expect you to love me back in the same way. There is something I want from you. There is something that I desire from you. We can love in very selfish ways. We can love in ways that makes it all about ourselves. We can love in ways where God is not even recognized. God is not even acknowledged. You see, Jesus knew that. Jesus knew we could love one another that way. Jesus knew that we can make it all about ourselves. And this is where it's new. Jesus says, but I'm going to twist this idea of love Don't love so that you can be blessed. Don't love so that you can benefit. Love so that this world will know you are my disciples or you are my followers. You are my followers. Now, for the disciples, imagine this. They've watched Jesus for almost 3 years through his ministry. They've seen the amazing things, right? The miracles, right? The powerful teachings. But they've also seen the crazy stuff. They've seen Jesus being put down. They've seen Jesus been thrown out. They've seen Jesus been ridiculed. They've seen Jesus been called a false prophet. And yet Jesus is saying, I want you to love one another so that people will know that you're my followers, i.e., so that the very ways in which you love is going to be exactly how I loved. And then the disciples are like, man, but people always made fun of you. People always put you down. People always wanted to kill you. People ran you off town. Oh, that's what you want our love to be? So that the response is that way? Yes. Yes. You are my disciples, Jesus says, church. And if he's calling us to love one another in this way, we are called to love in a way where it's no longer about us and it's no longer about our own image, our own accolades. But we're going to love in a way where actually you're going to receive rejection. You're going to receive persecution. You're going to receive words of horror that is just thrown at you because you are a disciple of Christ. And yet that is the new commandment. You are my disciples. Church, that is how we are to grow. That is how we are to love so that all will see that we belong to Jesus. So in this Mother's Day, moms, you are not called to raise your children and put all that effort into raising them so that they can make a name for themselves in this world. That is not your calling. That was never, ever your calling. And fathers, don't just tune out. When I said mom, I said you guys too. Okay? Parents, you were never called in the mission of parenting to do all you're supposed to do so that your son or your daughter gets applauded by the world. That was never, ever your calling. That was never, ever our calling. You were never called to make sure that your kids are going to be doctors and engineers or lawyers or makes $200,000 a year. You were not called to parent that way. You're called to love your children in such a way so that the world sees how you love them and says, wow, they are truly disciples of Christ. That you are called to parent in such a way that is so different from what the world tells us to parent, that when the world does see us loving our children, they're going to say, there is something so different about these parents and these children. They were never after their own personal achievements. They were after God's own heart. That is our calling. And I really appreciated what James said yesterday as he was giving kind of like a toast to his parents. And we all laughed at it, but it was so powerful. He said he appreciated his parents for supporting them in school because none of the three kids were ever in the STEM industry. Oh, no one's laughing. I thought that was pretty funny when he said it. Let me kind of interpret that. His parents supported and loved their three children, even though none of them are going to be scientists. They're not going to be involved in math. They're not going to be involved in engineering. They're not going to be involved in any of that. And yet their parents still love them. And that's true. Because when James's mom used to be here, she used to work here. I remember one time I was talking with her, and she was sharing with me how to pray for her kids. And then she said, Pastor R, just love your kids. God is going to do his work in them. Just love them. Don't force them or make them into something that you want them to be, but that may not be what God wants them to be. Just love them. Support them. Whatever they want to do in college, if they go to college, just love them. If they don't go to college, love them. If they end up doing something that you may not like, love them. Because it's not about you. And it's actually not about your kids. It's so that we love in that way, and then the world sees Jesus. So mothers, fathers, you put all that time and effort. I put all that time and effort. But let's ask ourselves, if all that time and effort is so that our kid is going to look like this, but barely any effort so that our kids will be followers of Christ, there's something. There's just something not right there. Let's give our kids up to God. I have to give my kids up to God. I have to trust in Him in faith that whatever God wants to do in and through them, He will do it. I just need to do all I can to make sure that my boys will know how to worship God, will know how to surrender their lives to God, will know how to obediently be faithful to God, and the rest I leave it up to God and them. You are Jesus' disciples. How would that look like then? If you come to a point in your life where you're saying, okay, I want to live in such a way so that I am loving people and that all will see that I am a disciple of Christ. In verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And the order here is very important. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. You see, God already showed us, Jesus already showed us how to love. You might believe right now, okay, I want to love people. Jesus, how should I love them? How should I love them so that all will be pointed to Christ? Jesus says, I've loved you. I've loved you. I've shown you 12 apostles. Well, at this time it's 11. I've shown you what it looked like. Remember when there was that crippled man in the synagogue and everyone just ignored him? Everyone didn't want to have anything to do with him? Remember the Samaritan woman? Everyone just kind of pushed her aside because of her religious beliefs. No one wanted to talk to her. Remember that person that was on the road? He was a beggar, and everyone was just saying, could you just please be quiet? Stop calling out Jesus' name. The man is busy. Let him be. Just be quiet. You're not important at all. And Jesus says, oh, he's important. Come over here. What do you want me to do for you? You want to be healed? You want to see? Get up. You want to know how to love one another? Jesus demonstrated for us already. Read the Gospels. Are the stories and the narratives in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John very real in our lives in the way we love one another? Where we love out of compassion and mercy and justice. Where God's righteousness and holiness penetrates and permeates in and through us in the way we love others. And ultimately, Jesus demonstrated the most perfect love that any of us could ever experience. He died for us. And a few moments after this, after giving the new commandment, he showcased his perfect love by dying for us. Can each of us live in that way so that we love and care, and the world sees it? Because you know what? That kind of love is so different from how we love here in this world. It's very different. And the world will see it. The world will see it. But you get to choose whether you want to live in that way, where you no longer make it about yourself, but you make it about someone else. Where you are making sure that someone else's benefit is much greater than your own benefit. That you want to sacrificially and humbly live a life of love so that this person will have the opportunity to get to know Jesus and surrender his or her life to him. That is the new commandment. That is how we love. Jesus has demonstrated it for us already. So you are Jesus' disciples, and he has already shown you his love. So live it, which is my last point. The whole reason why we love in this way is so that all will know that you are my disciple. So let me say this now. Your holy and righteous intentions of loving, though it's holy and righteous, won't make any difference in this world if you choose not to live it out. If your holy and righteous intentions to love someone is there, but you choose never to actively live it out in your life, it's all for naught. Because it doesn't really matter if we believe it. It doesn't really matter if we think it's important. If we, after service is over, choose to go out of these doors, choose to go out of this church, and choose not to love, then it makes no difference whatsoever. We have to love in a way where people see it. We have to love in a way where people can experience it. We need to love in a way where people can know that we are his disciples. Because if it's all just in our heads, if it's all just in our hearts, but we do nothing about it, then what is the point of this new commandment? Church, we have to live it out. We have to live it out in our words. We have to live it out in our actions, day in and day out. Mothers and fathers, live it out day in and day out in your life. I struggle with that too. But I am called to live it out to my spouse, to my children, day in and day out. Students, you are called to live that out on your respective campuses, day in and day out. You are not called to just go to classes and study. God has sovereignly put you on your campuses so that you get to know folks who do not know Christ, and you love on them, and you love on them so that all will see that you are his disciples. God did not place you in your workplace because you got an amazing salary. No. No. If that's what you think, man, you're wasting your opportunity in your workplace. God has placed you there because he believes you are the best. You are the best person that can share the gospel to those around you who do not know him, because you get to love in this way. We are in our respective neighborhoods. We are in our respective campuses. We are in our respective circles of influence because God says, I am placing you there because you are my disciple, and you're going to love this way so that people, all people, will know. All people will know. So I believe that our church, as we continue to grow in this, that God desires for each one of us as followers of Christ to love in this way so that we can truly change this world for Christ. And you can do it now. Don't be apathetic. Don't be comfortable. And don't be status quo. You are God's disciple. And please keep this in mind, because in a few moments, the children will be coming up here and will be presenting something to us. And you don't have to be their parent, because what they're about to do is going to be a testimony to all of us here. Remember these lives. Remember this generation. How each one of us lives now for Christ will determine what's going to happen in this next generation. Because they are going to follow us. I hope we are following Jesus. I hope we are his disciples. I hope we are his followers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, a new commandment you have given to us, to love one another so that all will know that we are your followers and ultimately know that we belong to you and ultimately know who you are. May that be very real in how we live, in how we speak, in the decisions that we make. Because God, our deepest desire is to see all people groups of this world and every person in our city have the opportunity to surrender their lives to you. In your name we pray. Amen.